searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope.
Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now, with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love.
Love that comforts from heaven above. And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us here at Catholic In His Sign Catholic Radio. And just my pleasure and privilege to be here on this Wednesday. Got a few announcements in case you weren't with us at the very beginning of the 4 o'clock hour. Kathleen's got a number of things coming up in the month of April. And want to make sure people know what's going on and that just what we have available, especially here in the southeastern Pennsylvania with the Malvern Retreat House and the opportunities we have to spend time with our God on retreat. Kathleen's going to be out at Malvern on the weekend of April 10th to the 12th for the 20th annual Divine Mercy Retreat. She's got some great folks on hand with her this year. It'll be Bishop Efren Esmila and Father Steve DeLacy, a good friend of In His Sign Catholic Radio, and Kathleen McCarthy. Again, that's April 10th to the 12th, Divine Mercy Retreat. You can register online at malvernretreat.com. The registration price is $290 in person. You can attend virtually. That's $75. And Malvern's got a great thing now for people that are under 22 years of age. It's just $100 in person. For this retreat or any retreat, if you go to malvernretreat.com, they have a spot there that says Find a Retreat. If you click on that, it'll list all the retreats in calendar order, and you can scroll through and find this retreat, the Divine Will Retreat, or Divine Mercy Retreat, I'm sorry, April 10th to the 12th, or any others out at Malvern. On April the 18th, which will be a Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Kathleen's going to be up in Piscataway, New Jersey. And she'll be there for a Divine Mercy Family Healing Retreat. Again, Bishop Efren Esmila will be with her, along with Father Timothy Christie and Father Ignatius Mary Okoroji. And this will be a healing retreat. The theme is Hope, the Answer to Suffering. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that now that I just heard that, something we can talk about during this hour. You can get more information from the website, www.olf, that's Our Lady of Fatima, olfparish.com/event. This event's actually going to take place at Our Lady of Fatima Church Auditorium up there in Piscataway, New Jersey. And just recently announced, the annual Wake Up America Dinner, one of the two fundraisers that this radio apostolate has each year, in addition to the annual golf outing. Will take place on Sunday, April 26th. This will be out at Malvern from 1:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon. The theme this year, Happy 250th Birthday, America. Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants. Kathleen McCarthy will be on hand along with the broadcasters and volunteers here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. We'll have a silent auction and drawings for raffle prizes. There's also sponsorship opportunities that are available. We'll get the flyer uploaded on the website at inhissign.com tonight. And if you check tomorrow, you should be able to download it and either fill out the slip to put in your reservation or give Maureen a call here at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. The cost is $60 per person, $110 per couple, or $450 for a table of eight. So grab a few friends and get a table. Come out and join us on April the 26th. Also, that same weekend, April 24th to the 26th, Matt Talbot 57 will have their retreat out at Malvern. My friend Michael Murphy and his wife Nolene will be coming over from Ireland for that weekend. They'll be bringing with them first class and second class relics of Matt Talbot as part of a presentation and healing service that I think will take place over the course of that weekend. You can register for that one online at malvernretreat.com, as well as the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Retreat. This year is August 14th to the 16th out at Malvern. Father John Large, local diocesan priest here in Philadelphia, will be our retreat director. All right. In this hour, first I want to just talk a little bit about this this theme. So the one-day retreat that they're going to have up in Piscataway, it says on the flyer that the theme is hope, the answer to suffering. And, folks, we don't get out alive. Nobody gets out of life alive. Nobody escapes this planet alive. And everybody is going to suffer to some degree. Some a heck of a lot more than others. I ask you to keep my sister, Barbara. She's one of those that, for whatever reason, has been chosen to suffer a lot. Had a surgery last week to reconstruct an Achilles. It's the second time she's had to have it done. She had the other leg done a couple of years ago. And she seems to get hit quite a bit from time to time with various sufferings as a result of an autoimmune problem. But there's a lot of people on this planet that are suffering. And one that really, you know, was brought home to me over, you know, the last few days and being with my elderly father is the suffering that a lot of the elderly experience. They can't do the things that they used to do. They don't have the physical capabilities, sometimes the mental capabilities to do those things. And so life can seem to be not fair and throw a lot of suffering at folks. And that's why the church exists. That's why Jesus Christ came, because he knew that suffering had come into the world. He watched it when Adam and Eve fell, when our first parents fell, and it was because of their sin, that original sin, that sin that all of us have inherited as a result of the fall, that brought suffering into the world. And when I think of suffering and especially that first sin, I'm always reminded of a friend of mine who had experienced some time in sobriety and then disappeared for quite a while. And then came back again. And the first Easter after he was back, I think it's the Good Friday services where we hear the line, "Oh, happy fault." And he frequently reminds me of that whenever we're you know, experience suffering, or we talk about how grateful we are to have the gifts that we have. And they'll just text me that one line, "Oh, happy fault." And it's a reminder that, you know, if it wasn't for that fall, then we wouldn't have needed Jesus Christ. But, you know, sometimes it's easy to, you know, think or place blame. And it's like, well, if Adam and Eve had never done it, then, you know, we'd all be living in paradise. And I'm sure that somewhere along the line, some human being with free will would have caused the same amount of harm. So, I think at least for me, it's just easier to accept the fact that suffering is coming my way. And it can come in various forms. It can be physical suffering, mental suffering, spiritual suffering, you know, whatever it is. But the goal that we have or the source that we have for hope is the church. And the church is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified. And it's because of his suffering that we should all have hope. The greatest of all sins, I believe, is despair. Despair is the complete opposite of hope. And I've been there. And it can come in various moments in our lives, and hopefully that when the despair comes, we're quickly reminded of the source of hope that we do have, and that it is in the church and with the sacraments, and that we as Catholics, as Christians, should be a source of that hope for anybody and everybody that needs it. And it doesn't mean that we're always going to be on our game. It doesn't mean that we're always going to have a smile on our face. It doesn't mean that we're going to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us to be that hope. I know that there's been certainly many cases where I probably could have been a better source of hope to somebody than I was. But that's why the church exists, is to give hope. That's why 12-step programs, I believe, exist. They should be a source of hope. Anybody that finds themselves, confounded by addiction and in the throes of an addiction when they go to a 12-step meeting, it should be a source of hope. And, I like to listen at meetings now, and if that hasn't been the message at some point, I'll inject that message that we're here to provide hope, and that there is a way out. There's a way out of addiction. There's a way out of suffering. And it may not be that we can, completely avoid the suffering, that the suffering, the physical suffering that we experience can be totally eliminated, but it can give us hope that suffering can be used to our advantage, and if not just to our own advantage, but to the advantage of people that we know. It's so easy, I think, sometimes to throw out that phrase, offer it up, but it's true. We can take whatever it is that we're experiencing and offer it to God for our own sanctification, or for the sanctification of our loved ones, especially for our children. And so, we should not let any situation, any suffering that God happens to allow us to experience, to be wasted. Use it, make good use of it, and offer it for others. And one of the great examples of that hope that we talk about from time to time, and I want to spend a little bit of time talking about today, is a guy named Matt Talbot. And I've been blessed. It's been 2 years now. It was 2 years ago in March when Father McKay was first approached by Bill Rose to talk a little bit about a project involving Matt Talbot. And that project was supposed to be initially a 20 or 22-minute documentary that might fill a half-hour slot on EWTN, much like the work that Bill did on St. Catherine Drexel. And I recently saw, and kudos to Bill, that piece of work that he did on St. Catherine Drexel is now available on Formed. Bill had gotten an Emmy or two for that work that he did. But it was 2 years ago this month that he approached Father McKay, and then Father brought me in on it, where Bill wanted to do something on the life of Matt Talbot. He was familiar with who Matt Talbot was, especially through a relative of his who has long-term sobriety. And so Bill wanted to, find out who Matt Talbot really was. And we had set a small financial goal in order to make that happen. It was going to be $25,000 for this shorter production. And then I introduced Bill to my friend Michael Murphy, who I just mentioned is going to be here for the Matt Talbot retreat at the end of April here. And Bill and I and Michael Murphy had a conversation about the life of Matt Talbot. I forget how long that call was. It was pretty lengthy, over an hour. And Michael really got into the details of Matt Talbot's life. And at the end of that call, Michael dropped off, and Bill immediately said to me that he couldn't do Matt Talbot's life justice in 20 or 22 minutes, that it was going to have to be longer. And so naturally my first question was, well, what's that mean in terms of cost? And You know, you would think if you go from 20 minutes to 50 minutes that, you know, 50 is 2.5 times 20, so maybe it would be 2.5 times that cost. So, you know, maybe $70,000 or something along those lines. But it turned out that the budget for the film was quite a bit higher than that. And it, you know, it was only through God's divine providence that this whole project came together. And so Bill did a great job in putting together the interviews that he did of myself and Father McKay, our engineer here, Patrick Kay, a couple other friends of mine, and then people that Michael Murphy connected us with in Ireland. But it wasn't until we reached that financial goal that we were able to hop on a plane and go to Dublin and spend a week there filming some folks that Bill wanted to interview, as well as visiting all the places that Matt Talbot frequented. And the discussions from early on right up until the time the film was completed was that this was to be a message of hope, that that was one of the themes. There is hope, and in this case, there's hope for addicts. But in Matt Talbot's story, it should give everybody help, not everybody hope, not just those that struggle with addiction. And so many fantastic things have come about as a result of this film, and some of them for all of us that were involved in the project, a number of them for me individually, opportunities and, you know, things that I've gotten to participate in that I never would have been able to if it weren't for Bill and this film. And but always in the forefront of our minds was that this was to be about hope. This was to give people hope. And I say that it's not just for the addict. I think initially when we made it, I remember a conversation with Bill and telling him that when we were talking about how much it was going to cost, that if it only helped one person, if it saved one life, then the financial burden would be worth it. Whether it was $25,000 for the 20-minute documentary or the $250,000 for the full-length film that was made, that certainly $250,000 is worth one life. One life is worth far more than that if we had to put a price tag on it, right? And we already know that far more than one person has been helped as a result of the film. And what was interesting to me is that it's the number of non-addicts, those that don't struggle personally with an addiction, that have been helped by the film, that have been given hope by this film, because they finally, after watching the film, come to understand the true nature of addiction. It can be hard when you've got a parent or a sibling or a child that struggles with addiction and you don't understand how people can continue to do the things that they do, the harmful things that they do, the insane things that they do, and knowing that it's not the right thing to do, that it can even be an evil thing to do, but not being able to apparently help themselves and not being able to understand why they can't help themselves, why they can't stop doing these things. And we've had people come to Bill and I and others, you know, saying that until they saw this film, they didn't understand that their mother wasn't a bad person or that their father wasn't a bad person, that they weren't evil, that they struggled with a disease, that they did the best they could with the tools that they had available to them, but unfortunately may have never found recovery, may have never found themselves in a rehab or in a 12-step meeting. And so this film would give them hope, especially if the person's still alive, and knowing that you can live with an addiction addiction, alcoholism, drug addiction, and others are often compared to diabetes, right? So diabetes is a horrible disease, and the physical implications of it can be incredible. But a lot of times with proper diet and medication, it can be managed. And the same is true of addictions with the proper medicine and diet. And the medicine is a 12-step program or faith or a relationship with God. And the diet is partaking of those things that will help us to grow in that relationship with God, with a higher power. And so it is a disease. And Father Paul Farron is great in the film talking about just that, that if we can get the church to recognize Matt Talbot as a saint because of the number of people that have counted on him to help them in their struggle with addiction, if we can get those classified as official saints or miracles, rather, it can help us to get Matt Talbot canonized. And when that happens, the hope that the minimal hope that we've seen already as a result of this project, the sky's the limit then once we get it in front of so many other people. And so we live in a world today that needs hope. You look around and the things that are going on today, just while I was away over the weekend, now we're at war, officially at war with Iran, that we're involved in wars with Ukraine and Russia, where there's just the ongoing struggles between Israel and their enemies. I don't know if we're on the brink of World War III or if World War III has already started. But, you know, all that is on top of people just trying to live day to day in a world that can oftentimes seem dark and black and really hopeless. And again, the saints or the church offers up our the saints or gives us the examples of saints because a lot of them went through the same types of suffering, the exact same types of suffering, and yet they had hope. And where did they find that hope? In Jesus Christ. And for those of us that are alive today, that's what our church is supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to be, a sign of hope for a troubled world. We're supposed to be that love in a world that is so desperately is looking for love, looking for it a lot of times in all the wrong places. And, the gift that we have of the church is that we can ultimately find that love in the person that was love personified, and that was Jesus Christ. We talked in the first show today about today's gospel and Jesus coming as a slave, as a servant, offered up physically, literally offered up his body and blood, soul and divinity in order to save us, to do one thing, to give us hope. And there's really no excuse not to have hope, but you have to look for it. You have to fight for it. It's just like, faith. It's one of those virtues that's a gift from God, faith especially. And faith should lead to hope. The three greatest virtues, right? Faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and love. And each one leads to another. The faith should give us hope, and that hope should be, make us willing to love anybody and everybody, and in doing so, be able to share our faith and share that hope in that one God that we all believe in. I've been there in the film. I have an opportunity to talk about the despair that I experienced before I found sobriety, to talk about the complete lack of hope that I had in anything human. right? I really hadn't looked to God to find an answer. I was trying to find all the human answers to my issues. And most of it was money. If I had just found enough money, I thought I could be happy and everybody around me would be happy. And it's the furthest thing from the truth. I see people today that have, what's the phrase? They have more money than God. And they're miserable because the money doesn't give you hope. The money doesn't eliminate death. Money can't eliminate suffering. It can help you find great doctors and pay for all the medications and procedures you may need, but it's never going to eliminate all the suffering. There's only one person that can do that, and he did it by example, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in him that I find my hope. It's in him that I find my joy. And being able to share that with other people, when I get to talk about it, share it with other people, it just reinforces in me how important it is for me and how grateful I am to have found it in my own life. And so if you've got it, if you've got faith, if you've got hope, if you've got love, you can't put it under a bushel basket. You can't put that light under a basket or under the nightstand. You need to let it shine. And God will give you opportunities to allow that to happen. And he's not going to ask you to do anything more than you can handle. One of the greatest lessons I've learned in life is we never get more than we can handle. It may seem like it at times. But when we look at how it went down and how the suffering arrived and how we got through it, I know at least in my case, I can always see God's grace coming before the thing that actually brought about the suffering. And again, if God wanted to do it for me, he wants to do it for you. He doesn't want any of us to suffer. Sometimes we can bring about our own suffering. But when he does allow suffering to come into our life, I believe it's so that we'll turn to him in even greater ways in order to ask for that to be alleviated or to fill up what was left wanting in his own suffering. And I find it hard to believe that anything was left wanting in his suffering after all that he went through. But if there was anything that was left wanting, we can fulfill that with our own. We've reached the bottom of the hour here in What the World Needs Now in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Matt Talbot's cause for canonization and where the film is in its life. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Oop, sorry about that.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in his love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. it would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to thank you all for being with us again. We're unable to take phone calls here. We're working on the equipment, hopefully resolved in the very near future. But if you've got a question or comment, you can always go out to our Facebook page, In His Sign Catholic Radio. The show's actually broadcast live using Facebook Live. And if you throw a question or comment out there, I'm keeping an eye on it, and I'll be more than happy to address it. We've been talking in this hour a little bit about Matt Talbot and hope, and the project that's been going on for the past 2 years. It's hard to believe it's 2 years already that from the time that we were approached by Bill Rose to make the film. And now it's been out for over 6 months, I guess. Premiered in Dublin last June, and been at limited showings here in the southeastern Pennsylvania area. A couple of retreat groups here and there have asked for permission to show it, and have. We've shown it at Malvern a few times. Again, a couple of local theaters here. My friend Michael Murphy over in Ireland has been traveling all over Ireland to show the film. They had 300 people there in Belfast on Monday night that were there to see the film. And we do have an upcoming showing that we're doing. We were at the theater in Oaks back in September. I was unable to attend that one, but we're headed back to the same theater on Thursday, March the 19th, St. Joseph's Day. It's going to be a little bit different this time. We are charging for tickets, and the theater has agreed to do it through their ticket merchant, which is Fandango. If you go to movie theaters these days, a lot of folks get their tickets ahead of time and online, whether it's through an app or their website. And one of those sources is Fandango. If you go to Fandango.com or use the Fandango app, you'll be able to find it. It's at 7:30 Thursday, March the 19th. The ticket price is $10. And I know Bill Rose, myself, and a number of people will be on hand that night, and would look forward to seeing you. If you've seen it already, come back and see it again. If you saw it and appreciated it, please tell your family and friends, coworkers, to come on out and see us. And it's again, it's not because of a prideful thing. It may sound like that. You know, it's not about me. It's about the message of hope that the film gives. And again, as I shared, not just for people that struggle with addiction, but for anybody that knows anybody that struggles with addiction. As long as that the person's still alive, as long as they're still drawing a breath, I tell people there's hope. We don't always know how God is going to operate and how he's going to eventually help them. A lot of times it's not the family member or friend that's going to help somebody. Oftentimes it's the stranger. There's a grace that comes to the person that needs help, and it's going to take somebody to let them know that grace has arrived. Sometimes it's a stranger. Sometimes it is a family member. Sometimes it's just the person themselves that all of a sudden realizes they can't keep doing what they're doing, and they seek help, and many times get it. There's millions of people that are walking around on this planet today that that struggle with addiction, just like there are diabetics who handle their disease through medication and diet. Like I said in the first segment, there's millions of addicts that are walking around this planet, and somehow or other are going many days and years without having to drink alcohol, use a substance, go shopping. They got to eat, but not overeat. It's just amazing. And we, because of circumstances, been talking recently about, you know, relapse and a few different people that we know that for whatever reason chose to experiment again and go out and either use drugs or drink again. And, you know, it's you don't have to, but it's never guaranteed. It's a daily reprieve, we say, that we get. And it's the same with our faith. As long as we keep at it and do the things that we need to do in order to hold on to that faith, we'll have it. But it's it can be very easy to have a slip, to not pray one day, and then one day turns into 2 days, that turns into a week, and next thing you know, we may have lost that faith and lost that hope that we had. But please know that God is always there waiting for us to come back. He's always there willing to give us and show us the hope that we need in order to continue to move on. So in the immediate future, that's the next showing of the film. Again, that's Thursday night, March 19th, out in Oaks, Pennsylvania, up off of 422. You can get your tickets at through the Fandango app or the Fandango website, and be great to see a full house. Like I said, they just had 300 people in Belfast on Monday night, and be nice to see a couple hundred people out there. The other thing that we've been working on, and I get a question quite often about where can we stream it? Is it available to watch at home? And frankly, I don't think Bill or any of us that were involved in the project knew that it was going to get the reception that it has received. And we started working with some folks to go to the streaming to a streaming platform right away to try to get this in as many homes as possible. And we were advised that may not be the way to go, that we could use this two-pronged approach like we have been, where we kind of show it on demand in various venues, whether it's a movie theater or facilities that have the ability to show a film on a big screen. It's really not made to be seen on a 16-inch laptop monitor, or it does come across pretty good on TVs, but we'd like people to see it on the big screen. And again, it's not because of financial gain. Up to this point, we've actually lost money on the financial or on the theaters that we've rented and that type of thing. Because to us, it's more important that people see it. And it definitely has a dramatic effect when you see it in the theater. But where we are now is trying to work a deal with an organization that has the ability to put this film into 1,000 theaters for anywhere from 1 to 3 nights. And we've had people talking to them, and it sounds like it just may happen, but not until the beginning of 2027. And so the best way to keep abreast as to what's going on with the film is to go out to matttalbotfilm.com. That's matttalbotfilm.com. Get on our email list, and I promise you that Bill and I will not flood you with a bunch of emails. It's just as new news comes about, and that is one of the things that is relatively new, is working on getting this thing into 1,000 theaters. Unfortunately, not until the beginning of 2027, but once we know for certain, it'll give us ample time, I think, to be able to advertise it and let folks know, because that was one of the requirements that these folks needed, was that we'd have a advertising budget. And we're getting there. We still have a ways to go in that regard, but you'll learn all about that if you visit the website again at matttalbotfilm.com. Bill's also working on some other things. There's some podcasts out there from before we even started the project. One from when after we finished the film and had seen it. He's working on some behind the scenes stuff now. That's pretty cool. And again, I knew as much about making movies as I knew about cooking French pastries before all this started. And to see the work that went on, the effort that went into it, and all the pieces that had to be put in place in order to make it successful. And none of this would have been possible without God's direct intervention. It's interesting when we get together now and talk about the last 2 years and how things unfolded. We see God's hand in it all over the place. Whether it was the people that came together to make it, the people that were part of the project, people that were interviewed, the timing of financial contributions that allowed us to make the film. It was all right on time. It was never late, never early. It was always at just the right time. And the crew that God put together in order to make this happen was pretty incredible. And some people have found it hard to believe, but there's not a single word in the film that was scripted. Now, Bill had sometimes had a script for the questions he would ask during the interviews, but you never hear him. You only hear us answering the questions as part of that interview process, that he cobbles together the answers that each of us gives in order to make the film. And when you have scenes where you can have one person finishing another person's sentence, and it happens more than once without any script being involved, showed me that God's fingerprints were all over this thing. And to sit back and watch it now, I was in Florida, like I said, over the weekend with my father, and he hadn't seen it yet. And for him to be able to see it and then explain to him the work that went into it and how we pulled it off and what have you, to see the joy and the hope that it brought him, and it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. No doubt in my mind that the whole project was divinely inspired, and like I said, that God's fingerprints are all over it. But you have to see it to believe it, right? You can listen to me talk about it till the cows come home, but until you see it, you can't really believe it. So I encourage you to come out on March the 19th, and really encourage you to visit matttalbotfilm.com. Again, register. We're not going to inundate you, but keep updated on what's going on with the project, especially if we do get it into 1,000 theaters. We'll be providing the information you'll need in order to go see it, especially since you may not be right here in the Philadelphia area, which I know a lot of our listeners, thanks to the internet and the WTMR radio app and other capabilities, some weeks we have a worldwide audience. We've had calls, or I've had calls just in my shows from as far away as London, and had no idea that folks in London were listening or watching, and knowing that they're able to do so is such a gift. So for those that aren't right here in the Philadelphia area, that'll be the best way and surest way to see the film once it gets rolled out into theaters. One of the other interesting aspects of this is, I've got a son who is a movie buff. He's seen an awful lot of movies. He goes to the movies at least once a week. And when he was asked to play the young version of me in it, he's just about the age I was when I'm talking about the things in the film that I'm talking about. And he got to play a role in it. And You know, you don't think of little things when you're involved in a project like this. For example, you may be familiar with the IMDb app. I forget. I'm not sure what the I is for, but it might be international. But MDB is Movie Database, and there's an app, and they have a website, and it's a place you can go, and you see a film, and you can't remember who all the actors were. You can go out to their website and plug the film in, and it'll show you the actors and even the people that are made the film, right? The directors, producers, executive producers, and so one of the cool things for my son was, Bill made sure that the film got out on IMDb, and so. We've got our credits listed out there, and my son was all ecstatic because he's actually got an actor's page for the role that he played in the film. And I bring that up not to brag about him or us or anybody that was part of the project, but sometimes it's the littlest things in life and the ones that we're not aware of that are going to take place as a result of the things that we do. So many times the impact that we have on others, God doesn't allow us to see. I've said it before. I think that that's God's way of keeping us humble. If we got to, look in a crystal ball and have God show us every life that we touched and how we touched it, it would be real easy for me to get full of pride. I think it'd be real easy for a lot of human beings to get full of pride, the number one deadly sin. And so I think in order to prevent that God prevents us oftentimes from seeing that. He'll give us glimpses of it once in a while. You know, when people let us know that we help them in certain situations, and we may not have even known, we may not have even known that we helped them, and they come back, weeks, months, years later, and say something to the effect of, "Remember, back in 2021, I was going through this thing. You were really a great help to me." And I have no recollection of what occurred and how it went down, but apparently, I may have helped somebody. So I think God allows that to happen once in a while, just to remind us that we can be that source of hope, that source of help. And it all goes back to the gospel that we opened the 4 o'clock show with in today's gospel, that Jesus Christ set the example for us and told his disciples that, the one that's greatest among you will be the greatest slave. The one that will be the greatest among you will be the greatest servant. And so when we serve one another, we don't always get the joy of knowing that the other person experienced something from that interaction. And for them to come back at some point, at any point, and tell us that we helped them, should hopefully reinforce in us the need to be that servant, to allow the suffering that occurs in our lives to allow it to occur, to roll with it to some degree. Doesn't mean we have to completely accept or understand it, but to know that God must be allowing it in order to bring about a greater good. Again, oftentimes, myself included, we don't see it when we're in the throes of it. It's only when we're able to look back and see it. You know, it's one of those gifts of having a memory, of having the mind that we have and being able to look back. You know, our animal friends. You know, I've got a great dog, 2.5-year-old black lab. 70-pound dog that thinks she's a lap dog, she doesn't have memory. She has intuition, if you will. Instinct, I guess, is the right word, not intuition. And everything that she does is based on instinct. She eats based on instinct. She chases rabbits because of instinct. She chases squirrels because of instinct. She barks because of instinct. Everything that she does is in response to the divine will that God has implanted in animals. And they don't have any choice. You know, God, dogs, cats, wild animals, they don't have the ability to make a choice on how they're going to live their lives. And so for them, they're going to encounter suffering too. They die eventually. Many of them can have health issues or what have you. But they don't have a real choice in how they lead their lives. We as human beings, you know, we've got this thing called free will. Sometimes I think it's a curse. But, you know, at the same time, I don't want somebody to love me because I make them love me. We can try to bribe them to love us, right, through doing things for them, purchasing gifts, and what have you. But in the end, they need to love us because of who we are, and not necessarily what we are, how much money we have, or the means that we provide for them. We just want people to love us for who we are, and God is the same way. God is love, and He wants to be loved because of who He is and what He is, not because He puts something in us like He does with animals, where not that animals are robotic, but that we become robots, that we always do what God wants us to do, and claim that that's love, because it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be. It would be an automaton. It'd be no different than the robots that they're supposedly coming up with now in 2026. Some of it seems pretty scary. Still not convinced. Still a fan of Daniel O'Connor, and think that a lot of this stuff is going to be used for the Great Deception in order to usher in the Antichrist. But it's scary what they're able to do now with electronics and robotics and what have you. But that's something that God never wanted. He gave us free will because He wants us to respond to His love with our love, and to give Him that love. But it comes at a price. Anytime we love anybody, it comes at a price. And, you know, that price is our own life in some ways. It can be, you know, completely at some point where, you know, our life is given completely for somebody else. Martyrdom comes to mind. But anytime we love somebody, we have to give up a piece of ourself. Otherwise, it's not true love. And I know that because that's the way I lived for a long time. My love came with hooks in it. It came with ulterior motives, not knowingly, but it was just the way it was, you know, and that I tended to love people because of what they could do for me, not so much because of what I could do for them. And again, the journey, the spiritual journey that I've been on for all these years, you know, has brought me to a point where I know what true love is today. And being willing to make those sacrifices, to give up, time, talent, treasure, in order to hopefully make somebody else's life better, or a group of people make their life better. And hopefully, you know, the radio broadcasts are just one way that all of us here at In His Sign do. Or try to give up that hour or two of our life every week in order to bring about God's kingdom here on earth. And I know for a fact, because I know many of the or all the broadcasters that are here, that we all have that same goal in mind, that we're all here to bring people closer to the foot of Christ at the crucifix, to see the hope, to see the love, to see the joy, and become better people for it. And once we get it, once they get it, that you can then go out and share it with other people. That's how it happens. That's how it works. One person at a time. So many times I've even had authors that have come on that they've written these great books. I remember, I forget the author, but the book was the Great Answer to the Great Reset or something along those lines. And I thought it was going to be some great economic plan or political plan or something else that was going to change the trajectory of this country and where we're headed. And even in the book, it comes out, it's one person at a time. That's normally all we can affect is one person at a time. And God will give us the opportunities to do that, especially if we ask him to. Do you want to be sure that you have the faith or the knowledge? You know, ask God to put somebody in your life that's going to question it. And then it's not a bad thing to not have all the answers. And one of the gifts is being able to say, listen, I don't have that answer right now, but I'm pretty sure I can go find it. And then you tap the resources that you have at your disposal in order to come back with an answer. And we can be that for our family members, for our friends, for our coworkers, for the stranger that we meet on the street. And if God wants you to do it, he'll give you the grace to do it and the opportunity to do it. And again, I know that for a fact because he's done it for me. And I know he wants to do it for you. So before we came on the air today, I was asked if I really wanted to talk for 2 hours, that there's always an opportunity to put a replay on. And I thought I could fill the 2 hours, and here we are a minute away from being done. And hopefully something that I've said, and I don't expect everything and anything that I say to impact people, but hopefully over the course of the past 2 hours, whatever course or whatever amount of time you were able to devote to listening today, hopefully there was a little nugget in there that piqued your interest and reminded you that there is hope, that there is that you do have faith, and that you do have the capability to love, and not only love yourself, but to love God's creatures, especially those human creatures that God has put in your life. And together, we bring about the kingdom of God here on earth. We don't have to wait to die to experience it. We can go there anytime we want. So I want to thank you for whatever part of the 2 hours you were able to be with me today. And I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I really do pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Thanks again for being here. Take care, and God bless.